this is Amir. I play Aram on The Blacklist, and you are listening to The Blacklist Exposed.
There should have been five teams protecting the perimeter of my emotions this week. Welcome to The Blacklist Exposed. I am Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson, and this week we're having a baby under a disco ball. Yay! Thanks for joining us this week as we continue discussing number 32 on The Blacklist, Mr. Solomon, The Conclusion, which aired April 14th, 2016, was written by Daniel Cerone and directed by John Terleski. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at where? TheBlacklistExposed.com. Troy, the internet is abuzz over this episode.
Yeah, it must have been like a Blacklist bombshell or something. The marketing engine was all in hype.
You should hashtag that, my friend.
I think I should.
Can I ask you, and we're going to get into the episode, and the big question about what happened to a certain character, it will be saved for the very, very end. Yeah, we're going to make you wait or make you fast forward either way.
The marketing engine isn't hype, like we said.
After it was all said and done, it's a fun episode. I think Spader really knocked it out of the park.
Yes, he did.
And emotionally.
It's only going to get better for him, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. I hope he goes on a flipping warpath is what I'm hoping. Just like Punisher. Goes full Punisher in New York City. Like by the end of this season, if he's wearing a skull on his shirt, I'm going to be extremely excited.
Punisher crossed with Deadpool because he can still have his charming red humor.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I like it. Well, he could just be Deadpool then, because Deadpool kills people too.
That's true.
Yeah. We'll just make this whole comic fest. The one thing I want to say is I don't know if the writers and Dan Cerone, you wrote this. I feel bad for you because I feel like the internet is kind of coming down on him a little bit because of how the episode turned out. Man, I haven't seen so many, screw this show, losing their minds over what happened in a long time. Now, some people take that as a bad thing. I do not. I take that as a great thing. When people are that passionate, that means they love a show. People don't say stuff like that about shows they don't care about. So, yeah, I think that's great. So I hope everybody at The Blacklist is pretty happy with themselves. I think you've duped a lot of people, and I think you've done a good job. Nice work. Three quick points before we get rolling today. The first, as of this recording, The Blacklist, music from the television series on a record, an LP, if you will, is now in stores in celebration of Record Store Day. I didn't even know that was a thing, but I guess everybody gets a day now, right?
You bet. Hallmark must have a card.
Are there still record stores?
Yes, there are. Actually, I got two that actually have the album right in my backyard.
Awesome. That's fantastic. My brother, like I told you before, my brother is a huge album collector. Like, that's all he buys. He won't buy CDs or digital music.
I was going to say, what's a CD?
It is a limited edition red vinyl album that doubles as a decoder ring for the Confidential dossier inside. It went on sale in stores only on April 16th, so get your copy ASAP. I do want to let people know, Troy and I are based in the Chicago area, so we just finally got warmth, and now the allergies are just kicking our butt. So neither one of us have colds, but if you hear a little sniffle here and there, that's what it is. I don't want anybody to think we're dying, like faking our deaths or anything. If you miss Volume 1 of the comic book series, you can now own the entire story of The Gambler in a cool graphic novel. GoldenSpiralMedia.com/Amazon, then search for Blacklist Gambler. Third, it is now time for the podcast awards. Last year, you guys all helped us get nominated as a top 10 finalist for the podcast awards. And I guess I should say, podcast awards are kind of what recognize the best in our industry. It's really an acknowledgement of the work that we try to do. We hope we do, right?
Yeah, it's something that it says that we've put our heart and souls into this because no one's getting rich, at least not us anyway, off of this. We just love the show and we just love hanging out with all of you guys. So it's a great way for people to get recognized for our labor of love.
Yes. So if you could help us again this year, we want to win this year. And they actually changed some of the rules. So there are... It's a lot more competitive in our category this year. So this year we're asking to go a little stronger and be a little mightier in numbers. If you guys are willing to help, please go to goldenspiralmedia.com/podcast awards. All the details are there. You can only submit one ballot per email address. But if you have more than one email address, you can send more than one. You know what I'm saying? Again, that's goldenspiralmedia.com/podcast awards for the entire process breakdown. Do it in memory of Liz, if nothing else.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
She'd appreciate it.
She would. I think she'd love you for it.
Now we asked you to answer our profiling question of the week last week, which was who or what, if you wanted to go that route, was inside the car?
I wish it was in Boston. Who was in the car? Yeah. That's how I'm going to say everything from now on. Some of you I'm really concerned about. Some of your answers. All right. Who was inside the car? David said, I am, but keep it to yourself. Well, crap. That's creepy.
Everybody knows now.
Uh-huh. Tati said, El Chapo. Does that mean Sean Penn's probably in the trunk?
What? What?
Jill said, William Shatner. Oh, wait. Hang on a sec. Jill said, William Shatner. Mr. Kaplan, thanks to Becca, Kimberly, Sherry, Jenny, Sandy, Teresa, Ann, and Anna. They said Mr. Kaplan. That's interesting. That would be an interesting twist, wouldn't it?
Yeah, not to say that Solomon knows who Kaplan is, so that's possible.
Yep, yep. Liz's father, thanks to Suzanne, Vicky, John, and Carol. They said Liz's father.
Wait, what? Liz's father? Does that mean that the father's not dead? That is an interesting twist.
Well... yeah, I mean, it could be red, right? That's what some people think. Not me. Operator 46, or is it 4-6?
I think he used it both ways.
Okay.
creepy mustache guy.
Thanks to Don and Amy. Thanks for those. Katerina Rostova. Thanks to Kendra, Robert, John, Everett, Barbara, Kevin, Kendra, yeah, and Kevin and Diane.
That's not possible because Solomon would know who red is.
Yeah, that's true. So are you trying to shoot down their theory?
No, I'm just trying to throw in my mom theory where I can.
Oh, you're so creepy. All right, a spinoff character. Thanks to Barbara, Ellen, and Tori. I assume you did that for my benefit, so I wouldn't see spoilers.
No, because we said we wouldn't talk about the spinoff until the end of the show.
Okay, good enough. A Liz twin. Oh, I hate when twins are brought in anything. Please be wrong, Jenny. Please be wrong, Jenny. Gina Zany Tacos from Dawn. But Craig thinks we are all overthinking it. And it was just someone looking for some great poupon. Har, har, har.
That's totally true. The limo pulls up. I love it. That's a good one, Craig. Thanks, as always, for the great responses. I think we're going to have some fun this week with this question, Aaron.
Yeah, and I do want to say, I know a lot of people are like, well, the question should be, is Liz dead? Is Liz not dead? Da, da, da. We debate on that. And we think the internet has covered that quite well.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay away from that one. Instead, we're going to see how creative people can be. So finish Liz's phrase from her, basically her deathbed. Raymond, I do love, you finish the sentence.
For example, like this, Raymond, I do love pancakes for breakfast. Or Raymond, I do love that you're in touch with your feminine side.
Really?
God. Raymond, I do love Uncle Flippo.
You need such therapy, such deep, deep therapy.
Be creative, people. Be yes. Creative. We want to have some fun with this one because we need to have more smiles after all this emotional therapy this week.
All right. Now use your Tinker Toys to avoid Solomon Stormtroopers as we bring you all the intel in this week's case profile. All right. This week, this... story is the character, so we're going to make the actual
summary, wrap-up, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make this pretty quick in this portion. We're just going to go into the characters. Concluding last week's episode, Mr. Solomon continues to try to kidnap Liz while an accident causes Liz to need an emergency C-section. That's no bueno, never good. Red sets up a nightclub clinic to birth baby Agnes, as she comes to be named. And after complications arise, we are left with Solomon, still on the run, a mysterious new villain, a new blacklist baby, and Elizabeth Keene dead. The internet had a coronary. Red's world was crushed. And I think some people are still trying to storm NBC itself. So, Troy, how did you feel about this episode, especially when it was all over? I know we kind of talked about it, but we didn't really go into detail. Now it's detail time. What did you think about the episode? I know you said you predicted some of it. Which parts did you predict?
We are going to consider that there's a possibility of someone that not actually being dead. So that was the part.
What?
So the thing I predicted was that Liz was actually going to die. And it wasn't because it was so telegraphed. Like I mentioned, there was a certain bump involved in her real life, in her real pregnancy. And she's due literally like any day if she hasn't had the baby yet by the time of this recording, which I think is kind of fun because it'll be like giving birth to her actual kid on close to her actual birthday. So would that be awesome if they were shared the same birthday? That'd be kind of fun. So with that,
for her, I don't know how it's fun for us. I mean, that's kind of like their thing.
Well, yeah,
don't make it your thing. No, that's just weird. Don't do it.
It'd just be cute. My wife and I share the same birthday.
Do you?
Yeah, we do.
So who buys who presents?
We don't. We go on vacation instead.
I like it.
Smart.
All right. Yeah,
it's all our money, so it doesn't matter.
My daughter has the day after my birthday. Like, her birthday's a day after mine, which means I haven't had a birthday since she was born.
There you go.
Yeah.
She should take you on vacation.
Yeah, I'm not bitter at all.
Clearly not. But because of the pregnancy, maternity leave has to be coming. So there has to be a way to creatively get her off the show. And when it comes to the blacklist, people die. So let's kill her to get her off the show. So it makes sense. I did not anticipate, though, the potential of the fake death concept, even though some things in this episode were pretty telegraphed to make you think that right from the get-go.
Hmm. Here's what I'll say. Back in January, and Troy, I don't even know if you remember this, but back in January, Troy and I were talking before we came back what they were going to do in terms of Liz, because we knew that, she's basically Megan Boone, obviously, her pregnancy is going to come right around before the season's over, before they're done filming. I mean, she's going to have to go on maternity leave. No matter how hard a worker you are, working up until the day the child is born is pretty hard for anyone, any woman. And so we knew that there was going to be something, and you knew it was going to have to affect the story some ways. I only saw it three ways, right? One way is she goes off into hiding, and everybody knows about it. The other way is that she's kidnapped by Katerina Rostova, which is what we talked about quite a bit on this show. And the third way is that she fakes her death, or Red fakes her death. Her death is faked in some way.
And we're saying that her death is faked because you would never kill off the leading character of the show in this manner.
Right. And obviously NBC's not going to knock off the pregnant woman right at the end of her term. I mean, man, that's not good.
I'm an HR guy. I could tell you that would never turn out well.
Exactly. That's not good. No bueno. But we never really talked about the potential fake death portion on this show for a specific reason, and that was I didn't want to bring it up and make people think about it. Because then, unfortunately, you guys are avid fans of the show. I'm an avid fan of the show. When I hear someone say something, it puts it in my head, and I can't – the moment is not experienced the same, I guess.
You mean kind of like being told about a spinoff?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, it's exactly the same concept, right? Am I wrong?
No, it's totally true. And I think that for most people that you have – and not saying that any of you are the general television audience, right? But we don't know how many of you are general television viewers versus avid television viewers.
Right, because people really just watch the show and not much else.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
The people like Aaron and I who have seen like pretty much everything on TV, like there's a certain, we don't want to call them tropes, but there's certain elements and creative things that you can use to weave a story a certain way. And when Aaron and I say, yeah, we totally predicted it, it's because we've seen it happen like time and time and time again. So,
yeah, and it's not like they're I do want to say I know some people I've talked to have taken that to mean like I'm saying that the writers were being generic. Absolutely not. There's only so many directions they can go. I actually think it's a very clever direction for the story, and especially if your lead character doesn't know that.
Right, exactly right. And I think that's the key, is how you interpret how Red assumes the situation. And if Red is in on it, well, then it's kind of like, that's a weak way out. But if Red truly believes she's dead and the wool was pulled over his eyes, then that makes for a really interesting story.
Absolutely. And I think that's the one thing I do want to say. I think people are looking at it like, well, they're trying to fool us that Liz is dead. That's not cool. I think they're trying to establish that they fooled Red. That's what I've gotten out of it. And that's what I think they're trying to do. Now, I'm not sure. I won't know. It might not even be till the beginning of season four that we know for sure. I mean, honestly, I mean, the timing of the thing. But, and she, is it possible that she's dead? Let me ask you that question. Is it possible that Liz Keene is dead?
I mean, if you think about it from personal family life situation, maybe she wants some time off and wants to spend time with her new family. So, I mean, it would be a really crappy way for your lead character after three seasons to go out. I think she would deserve a better exit. But at the same time, it's kind of brilliant in a way, if you think about it, because Tom is now left holding the bag with Agnes. He's got to deal with Red and the fallout from that. So it might be a great exit after all, when you look at the entire body of work in itself, if she doesn't come back. So is there a lingering doubt in the back of your mind that could she really be dead? For me, it's a small piece, but that small piece is enough to keep the show interesting.
Yeah, I don't have that at all, honestly, but I don't have the lingering doubt at all.
You're
I don't
cynical
I don't
think jaded so. Son of a
no. I just think that we'll get into I'll tell you why before we're done with this podcast. How about that?
There you go.
Because I think we want to get into the characters, and then it makes more sense.
If there was one show on television that could pull off killing off the main character without having to have such a grandiose, you know, send off kind of thing like at most other shows do, when you have these main characters that get that emotional well up type of situation, I think this would be the show that could pull off killing off a lead character and you not even realizing it, because you have all this other, oh, it could be a fake death. She could just be in a coma. She could da 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 da. And then like three seasons pass and you're like, wait, what happened to Liz?
It could. I mean, it very well could. I think we would have gotten more closure, but we'll talk about it as we get into the characters, because I had a great time in this episode. I thought there was a lot of emotional impact. And there's still some fun stuff to talk about. But first, let's do the music. Let's go into characters. Let's start with the music like we do every week. If you've never listened to the podcast, we generally break down the main blacklister, which this week there really wasn't one. It was Solomon, and he's part of the story with Liz. So we're just going to do it by character. So why don't we start with music?
You know it. So what else do you do in a nightclub that doubles as a maternity ward? And I put this out on Twitter. I thought it was great. I just said, hey, since we're in a nightclub, what should we play? And you guys had some really creative answers on Twitter. But what ended up happening was Paul Anka comes on, and who else would do it but Tom, a.k.a. DJ Jazzy Jacob.
I like it.
He fires up, "You're having my baby," just as Liz starts to trip out on the morphine, watching the disco ball spin around. Very interesting C-section delivery. I think it's probably the most interesting one in television history. And I've seen 12 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, God.
15 seasons of ER. So.
Oh, God. Man, you just glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
You stay far too long after those shows stop being good.
I know.
Yeah, I really like that, by the way. I thought that was a nice touch where it was she wanted her delivery to be magical, which I've got two kids. Let me tell you. I don't see any magic at all. It looks very painful from my perspective, but it's nice that Tom tried. I kind of feel bad that I never whipped out any mirror balls and music during either one of the births.
Nope. My kid came out because my wife is very small and 5 foot tall. And when they said 8 pounds, 10, it was 22 inches, 8 pounds, 10 ounces. The whole operating room went, holy crap. Like, how did you carry that child in your small frame?
Yeah, and that's bigger than you are.
I know, pretty much.
She's like a midget.
Oh, good Lord. So, yeah, not magical, just kind of like shock and awe. I should have had bets going on or something.
Oh, it was a nice touch. I liked it. It was fun.
It was good. It was good.
And plus, I was just sitting there. I was like doing a little John Travolta in the background. I'm like, staying alive. Sorry.
I'll
sing the whole song if you let me.
Good Lord, no. Stop. Later, as Red and Nick try to escape with Solomon closing in, Lighthouse by Patrick Watson plays, which, depending on what camp you were in on this dead, fake dead thing, I thought the first verse of this song was really interesting. Here's the lyrics. "Leave a lighthouse in the wild, because I'm coming in a little blind. Dreamer of a lighthouse in the woods." This is the part that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Shining a little light to bring us back home, or to help us get back into the world.
Oh.
So are you dying, or are you trying to keep from dying? I thought that was a very interesting...
Start a new light.
Right, exactly.
New life. New light. New life.
And depending on what could happen after all of this, if she is fake dead, then what kind of personality comes back? Because there's that whole mind control thing and coma, and mix that all together, and she could be a whole new person when she comes back. Never know.
Whole new... Seriously, twin is not something I like.
Not twin, okay. But... Because she had her memories messed with, and then you take medical coma on top of that.
Oh,
she
I
could
see.
Come
she
out
back.
As a different yeah. type of Liz with different memories or different explanations or things unlocked or what have you. So
it's yeah, and I, by the way, a lot of people have yelled at me and said, seriously, I've had these conversations. A lot of people that know that we do the podcast have lashed out because of my concepts. But like I said, well, she wouldn't leave her baby. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Don't worry.
I like how much detail you paid to the song. While I'm just sitting over here going, staying alive, staying alive. All right, what was the last one?
The best selection of the night for me, anyway, has to be the theme from Blinking Lights by the Eels. The song actually has the most subtle xylophone chimes in the background, which sound like a music box, which made me immediately think of the music box that Red got for Liz that played the song that her dad used to play for her. Couple that with Red almost fainting by the car, and that's when I lost it. I admit it. I cried. I did. True story.
I didn't cry, but I was very, but I'm a very bitter, cynical person, as Troy alluded to. But when he did, when Spader did his moment where he drops and Dembe catches him, I'm not going to lie. I got a little choked up. Inside my chest, there was some thumping where the heart would be.
You were like that cop from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Get back in there, dear.
Yep. It was good. My eyes almost rained. Oh,
yeah. I think that was interesting because you would think that you would cry when Liz died, but it was actually Raymond who having that fainting scene and Dembe being there to catch him. It's like that was the emotional part that was just like, oh, gotta love that.
Well, and I think that's where the disadvantage to thinking about the fake death
ahead of time hurt, right?
Yeah, affects me. That's why I really never talked about it on the show. I talked about it to Troy, so Troy and I, you know, he can vouch, but if I need to vouch, do I need to vouch? I don't know. But it's just one of those things where if you mention it here, then people are going to be looking for it, waiting for it, because, you know, if you guys listen, we appreciate it, but I don't want to put anything. That's why kind of like what we did the spinoff at the end of the podcast last week. We don't want to put anything in anybody's head that doesn't want to be there, because it kills some of the emotional reaction for some people, and I didn't want that, and I did have that, but Red brought it out. So Jane Spader brought it out. That performance was pretty close to Emmy. If not the award, it's worth a nomination, I would think. It was pretty strong.
Damn straight. And if he doesn't get one next time around, the Emmys is over for good for me.
Why do they hate these genre shows, man?
Damn.
Stop it, Emmy. Every show that's good is a genre show these days.
Well, everything's off the air now, right? Mad Men's done. Breaking Bad is done. 24 is done, so... someone can actually win an award finally.
We'll just eliminate all the competition and then just give them the Jane Spader Award.
That's right.
He's won a few, so it's okay. It's not like he doesn't have plenty on his shelf.
True, true.
All right, now the new character, Operator 46 or 46. Who is this mysterious guy with the bad porn mustache, huh? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, and it was funny because they made a point of actually showing the driver of the real ambulance. I was going to say fake ambulance, but Red was in the fake ambulance. The driver of the real ambulance that went to the hospital, he had the mustache. And I was like, wait, is that the same guy? That can't be the same guy. That's just weird. But no, it's not the same guy. But they both had they must have been brothers, though, because they did have the same mustache.
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of guys with bad mustaches in New York or wherever they're at. So, yeah, no, shave that. Why would you have that? It's 2016, man. It's not a good look.
No. I don't know if this character is someone that's bigger or if it was just used as a ploy because you need someone to have Solomon to have a conversation with. So I think maybe it is just truly just an operator. And it was just kind of cool to see the technology that they have and the fiber link communication. And, oh, I don't have eyes in that area because your guy lost the safe house or whatever. So I think it's just an operator. I don't think it's anything bigger than that.
Well, I think he is. I mean, they did it very ominously. So
he's got a great voice, right?
Right. Whoever he works for later. is part of a bigger picture.
For sure.
Part of a bigger organization that I think is going to be a foe, obviously, for the rest of the season.
It's got some money because they got body piercing armor and cool comms that you haven't seen before. So this is even better than the government.
Traceable comms. I didn't even know you could trace them like that when they're black market. But hey, you got a ROM on your team that helps. So do you think we're going to see more of this guy, I assume?
I don't know. It looks like he's dying soon. He's taking a lot of pills.
He is, man. He takes a lot of medicine, go down, whatever that song was. And he needs he lost his data node, right?
Right.
So I don't know if he still looked pretty functional, though.
Yeah, he just was blind spot in the one spot where the ambulance happened to be going through in order to, you know, make the whole Red situation happen. But Solomon still catches up with him because Solomon's smart.
Yeah, I like this addition. You've got it's nice because I think most of the time in shows like this, when you've got somebody that's always finding whoever our lead character is, like they're always finding them, it's always so random. Like, well, I was driving down the street in the general area and I saw some random thing that led me to you. Instead, we've got a guy who's basically using all the information that is out there. Very similar to, what was the, beginning of the season. Where was this season?
Yeah, it was like when Aram and
season.
It was start of season three where they were tracking him, the troll farmer.
Yes, the troll farmer.
Yep, that was the pilot or the
very
premiere.
Very similar to this. So that's interesting. Very, very cool. Samar, she found the aircom that leads them on their chase throughout the episode. She didn't have a lot to do, but at the end, her breakdown with Wrestler, I thought was powerful stuff. I thought Mojan did a wonderful job.
Oh, there. Absolutely. When she sticks her hand out and just is like grasping for anything, like I'm falling, mm-hmm. someone catch me, and then Wrestler happens to be there. I think that plays off so well given their history and what happened between the two of them.
Mister, I'm doing my job of hugging you closely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that was a very sweet moment. I think she played it beautifully. Definitely added a lot more depth to that moment than I expected. Because Wrestler was being so closed off and businesslike, I kind of expected Samar, who's also very similar in that respect, to handle it the same way.
And because she's so deep with her emotions in that emotional charged moment, you know what's going to happen next. That's what happened last time they had an emotionally charged moment.
You think they're going to hit the sheets?
Never know.
You think that's how they deal with every emotional moment?
The two of them are so stoic, right? So when they both have an emotional breakdown, they have to lean on each other.
Man, that would create
literally
so much
lean on each other.
Sexual static. Wow. All right. Well, Cooper and Ram, they have much less to do this week because they're basically just exposition machines to move the chase along. Cooper kind of gets the chase going on the comm, and then Aram helps kind of narrow down who the guy is. They didn't have much to do. Is there anything here in this episode that stuck out to you in terms of them?
I think Cooper's emotion. This is where I was like, okay, how are people going to deal with the news? And I think this is the one place where I kind of scratched my head because we have Cooper, you know, hey, you're like a dad to me. You married me. I don't know if Cooper should have broken down a little bit more. I thought Aram for sure was going to have more of the Samar moment than Samar did.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the, you know, tried to save her in the box and did all this stuff. And I can't believe that in the end of it, she's dead anyway. And so I thought Aram would have had more of a blow up than he did. So maybe one nitpick of the episode.
I don't have any nitpick for that. I mean, he got the information and the camera kind of moved away from him pretty quick. So
true.
Yeah. He didn't really have enough time to have an emotional breakdown. And plus, poor guy, he's been an emotional roller coaster all season. Let's give him a break.
That's right. His grandpa's coming to kick his butt for the car.
Yeah, Cooper is a guy where you can read that two ways. You can read that as maybe he is just trying to keep his composure for the better of his team. That's what leaders do. I think leaders try to do that. You saw Red try to do that himself, and he just couldn't at the last moment hold it in anymore. Or you can read it as he's aware that it's not the case.
You think Cooper's in on the plan?
I didn't say I think it. I just said it's a possibility. You know, the job on this podcast is to look at every angle. And I'm saying that's a possibility. You can look at it both ways. He's either taking it strong because he's a leader and he has to be strong for the team, or he knows what's going on. Because maybe they need his help to pull off the funeral, and Liz and Tom knew that Cooper would help.
Wait, there's a funeral? Spoiler
alert. There's
got
to be. Good Lord. There's got to be. It's got to be.
They could cremate her and just put her in the ground.
Previews,
you know?
So I don't know that, but that's my theory.
There's always a funeral afterwards.
Yep.
They got to pull on the emotional heartstrings of the audience again.
Oh, just take it. Just stomp on it. Go ahead. So that's what I think. Those are my options. Wrestler, Mr. Just doing my job. He was pretty stoic. There's another option that maybe he would be in on this if there was a fake death. Because he didn't have any emotional. He didn't even shed a tear.
Yeah, I was trying to think what Wrestler's motive would be to cry in that moment. I would think Wrestler's more of the cry behind closed doors kind of guy. So because he is just Mr. Doing My Job, and just doing my job is protect everybody else from seeing this because this is tragic. We need everybody to focus and stay on the job because Solomon's still in the area. So I think he puts job first. So I was okay with Wrestler not breaking down in that moment. That would be his character, I think.
Okay. No, I'm just trying to fuel the fire. That's all. I'm basically trying to say everybody but Red's in on it. That's what I'm trying to do.
I did not hear Cooper come up from anybody else, so that's very interesting, and I have a way that might actually work in my head now.
No, I think it's completely possible because I think there are two people that I know from watching the show, I have no doubt they would assist Liz escape, and Red wouldn't be able to break them or see through them very easily. Aram, I think you would see through pretty quick. He's not
totally.
He's not a skilled con man. Samar, maybe there's an option there, but she also has a deep connection to Liz, and it's kind of hard to get to her without Wrestler knowing it at this point. But Wrestler and Cooper, those are the two people within the post office that if you needed government assistance to facilitate a, let's just say a fake murder or fake death, not murder, fake death, those two would be the ones to help.
Agree.
Makes sense. I'm not saying either one of them. I'm just planting a seed. You guys look at it whatever you want, because now whenever you watch the show, you're going to be thinking maybe. And that's what I want.
After really. We spent this whole time telling everybody we don't want to plant seeds and not ruin it for
now
you.
Now this is out there. Now it's okay, because that's out there. See, before it's out there, not okay.
Just
now,
want to make sure you clarify. Someone didn't want to come back and say, you planted that seed, and no, you can't see it any other way. And da, 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 da.
Yep. Now it's out there. I can do whatever I want.
Which is really interesting, because Cooper and Wrestler are the two people in Red's life in the post office that know Red the most, and he knows them the most.
Mm-hmm.
So is that saying that because they know each other so well, they can play off each other's weaknesses and hide their weaknesses? Or are these the two people that are the easiest to read because of the past relationships the two of them have with Red?
I think it's because Wrestler and Cooper both know that Red is dangerous for Liz.
True.
And I think it's been really well established so far that Red is a threat to Liz. And I know... people love Red, and he's done a lot of things to try to help Liz, and he cleared her name, and he's kept her safe to a degree. But he's also, I mean, the reason she's in so much danger, a lot of that is because he came back into her life. And you do have to, and even though, we'll talk about Red when we get there. I want to hold on that for a minute.
Sure, no problem.
Let's go to Dembe. Let's talk about his mystical reassurance program.
That's right. Everything's going to be okay.
What did you think about Red just blowing up on him?
I think it was great. I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see that if he's going to be angry with anybody, he's going to be angry with the one man, his right hand. Like, how did you let me down? You always yell and scream and throw, you know, chairs and stuff at the people you love the most, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the case for Red, that he's taking it out on the person he loves the most besides Liz, that he's like, why did you let this happen? This was your fault. And then Kaplan, of course, comes in as she would and says, no, this is your fault. I was like, that was just awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was a great moment. I liked, especially the apology. When he went to apologize, and Dembe's like, I know. That was a very, both sweet and very cool moment. Like, I know. Because I just got this feeling like, man, if I didn't know you didn't mean it, I might have whooped your ass right there. And that's kind of the vibe I got. Am I wrong?
Well, and clearly it shows us that Red has also got a thing. He's not faith-based, right? Even though he sits in churches quite a lot, he's definitely doesn't seem like he's a man of the faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not so much. I love that he's just there. He's just like, he's one of Red's most trusted confidants. He knows Red, and he understands what he's going through and who he is as a person, and he knows the secret. So obviously he knows why this hits him so hard, even though we don't. I know a lot of people are upset about that, but what are you going to do, man? We're not going to know for sure for a while. So,
and the fact that he doesn't take it personally, because he could just at the end, like Red fall on his ass. He's like, you yelled at me. Screw you. Fall on the ground. I don't care.
Yep.
No, he is Dembe. He is, I am going to protect Red at all costs, and I will always do better. And if I get chewed out, it's because I wasn't doing my job. And that's how he takes it. And he does it that way to make sure Red's safe.
I think he took it because he knew that Red needed to vent, and he was just lashing out. And
that
he didn't
too.
Mean
that
it.
Too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Solomon. Now, okay, I got to admit, we've talked for weeks about how cool Solomon is. We love Eddie Gathegi. We think he's great in this role. The one thing I will say, if you're like this highly skilled, trained manager of assassins, how do you miss people leaving by the front door?
Because he was too busy storming the back door.
So you don't cover the front door? I mean, I realize that I heard the plan in last episode. I got it. They're all going to come in, center on the back, and then that's when we move to the front, blah, blah. I heard that.
That was something I said. I was like, I believe I said it on the last podcast, of when everybody came to go in through the back of the church, did they completely leave the front open? Because like we said, who are they shooting at when they came out? They're all coming through the back. And there was one or two soldiers out front, which isn't going to be able to stop four people coming out the door.
Right, and I think they went down last episode too. But I'm just like, Well, you had to have seen the car drive away, right? Or no, realize that the car's no longer there. I mean, it was the car with all the stuff hanging off the bumper.
But he might not see it because he's ducking behind the car for cover because they were still shooting out the windows.
I don't know, man. That one was a little bit of reach for me. I'm just like, what? What? But whatever. It's TV. You know.
I still don't get why he's shooting at the pregnant girl when he's not supposed to kill the pregnant girl.
Shoot at the pregnant girl. When did he shoot at the pregnant girl?
They're shooting at... She's in the van. She's laying in the gurney, and they're shooting at the van. They took out the driver. They disabled the engine with the giant sniper rifle.
Yeah, but those two shots, one is the engine, one is the driver. That's not anywhere where Liz is, Masha.
But they're still advancing under gunfire. A straight bullet, ricochet.
Could have just been, Liz could have been poking out. Like, hey, what's going on, guys? Oh.
Not to mention they're trying to drive her off the road and kill her on the car collision chase scene. And she's hanging out the window. She'd just fall out and roll on the concrete.
Oh, man. I'm coming to that accident. We're going to talk about that. It's coming up. All right. So, Solomon, you know, I do say, for two episodes called Mr. Solomon.
He's not in the episode that much.
He's not really a big focal point of either episode. Am I wrong?
Well, I think if you look at what does the blacklist mean at this point, in this case, the blacklist means someone that Red... Somebody that has impacted Red's life in such a way that it would be on Red's list, I think is how we have to look at it. Because I think that's how we were looking at the whole season, right? These are people that impacted Red's life as the plan was coming to fruition, et cetera, et cetera. So in this case, Solomon is on the blacklist because he is ultimately responsible in some way or shape or form for Liz's death. Because Red clearly believes she's dead.
Right. Okay, I'll buy that. I mean, yes, we know that that's the list. I mean, basically, at this point, it's anyone who is a threat to Red. I just kind of thought when you've got two episodes, it would be more about learning about the character himself, getting more of his history. And I don't think we really got any of his history.
Right, a little more backstory or why is he involved in this somehow. Maybe it would have been better to introduce maybe last week a little bit more of the employer that's got him hired to kidnap Liz, just to get that, why is Solomon now a focal point? Like, because he was such a big character at the early part of the season, too, and you still didn't get any of that backstory. You just kind of was like, oh, here's this new guy.
Right, exactly. Nick. Nick is brought back, Dr. On Call. This story revolves around him. Yeah, most of that depends on how we see what happens to Liz. If she isn't dead, it's on him. That ambulance lady got knocked off. I just want to say, because if he was in on it, it's kind of his fault. But
are you saying he's responsible for the driver to getting shot?
Well, I'm saying, okay, here's the only wrinkle in my it's a fake death plan, right? Is that meant they had to leave the facility and had to put themselves in the path of Solomon. They had to risk that, which means that the young woman driving the ambulance that got killed because of this plan of a fake death, if that theory holds.
So I would assume that Nick is at fault because he didn't ask for the one machine he might need in case things went south.
Yeah, because he had to go there to do it.
Right.
So they had to leave the safety of where they were and put Liz and the ambulance driver at risk. That's why I would say.
Or he's just a really bad doctor for not thinking he would need the machine and didn't ask for it.
I don't think he's a bad doctor. I think he knows what's going on.
When did you become an OBGYN?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That was really funny. So what do you think? I mean, do you think... Well, I guess first let me ask you, do you think that Nick would perpetuate this lie to Red about Liz, if that is the case, if she is in fact still alive?
Yes, I do, because remember, it was Kaplan who originally hired Nick in the first place back when Red got shot in season two. So this would make him now on the payroll, and I think he has more loyalty to Kaplan as his employer than he does to Red.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense, and I would agree with that. 100% agree with that. Were you glad to see him back? I mean, he's kind of got, like, since you're an ER fan, he's got a little bit of that George Clooney early ER look.
Yeah, the Silver Fox look to him. Yeah, yep. I kind of like Nick, actually. He's now become one of these, I expect to see him like Brimley or Glenn or one of the people that are on his payroll. And so whenever there's a medical issue, it's like, oh, Dr. Nick's coming this episode.
Yeah, it seems like he's the only one on call, doesn't it?
Yeah, although it is a little creepy to say, here's the ex-girlfriend, and that could have been my baby. And so there was a little bit of, I was hoping they were going to play that wrinkle up a little bit more between Tom and Nick, but No, unfortunately, they it was just.
Oh,
the,
you know what? You know what they could have done? Just pulled one of those. You know, Tom, while you were on the run, me and Liz, we had a moment. So there's a chance. Oh. When you we might have to do a DNA test by the end of this episode.
When you were locked up in that boat for 4 weeks.
That's wrong. No, I don't think that ever happened. Please don't ever subscribe to that.
No, it is Tom's baby.
It's Tama's baby. Kaplan, you start seeing it early, her concern for Liz. She asks Nick, it's possible, right? Just as Red arrives, and then Nick goes into a medical explanation that I really don't think Kaplan would be asking about. After Liz goes all on Red, Kaplan then goes in to talk to Liz, and it's after this moment that Liz starts having complications.
Okay, we got to even back it up further. Because before they have that small conversation with Nick outside of the tent, when Nick first comes in, he knocks on the wrong door. I thought that was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in. So it was kind of like a misdirection. Like he didn't know where he was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So he didn't know anything before he got there. And then as he's walking in, Kaplan's on the phone and says, hey, okay, he's here. And mm-hmm. that moment, that goes back to where you were saying that maybe Cooper or somebody was involved. Because I go back to, how did Solomon have Cooper's phone number from last week?
Right.
So if Cooper's number is so easily to get, maybe Kaplan did call Cooper at that moment, and they were kind of hatching the plan, and she was kind of thinking the plan out with Cooper, and then Nick shows up. Then she tells Nick, hey, this is what we're going to do, and Nick's like, yeah, it could work, and then Red's like, what would work? He's like, well, I got to get the baby out now, because if I don't, she's going to die, because I've got to perform an emergency C-section. Real nice pivot for Nick on that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then clearly, I watch everything in closed captioning. So when Liz,
you watched the whole episode. I thought you only did that when you're trying to decipher something.
I watched
the whole episode.
I watched the first time through without the closed captioning, and then I watched the second time through with the closed captioning.
Good on you. I'm so proud of you for being so detailed.
Well, when you do that the second time through, and Red gets kicked out of the tent, and Red's standing there just outside of earshot, the closed captioning says indistinct chattering. Because you could clearly tell that they were having a conversation with Liz between Kaplan and Nick.
Oh, yeah.
What I can't remember, though, is did Tom come out of the tent or was Tom still in the tent at that point when they were having the conversation? Because you can only see the three of them in the shot. I can't see Tom in the shot.
Tom, I think, is still in there.
That's what I thought,
too. I don't think he ever left the room except to turn on the music. That's the only time he ever left her side.
Right.
So, yeah. Tom was in there. Tom was in there.
Like, good for Tom. Good acting, because he played it off like he's like, oh my God, she's gone. I can't do it on my own.
And then of course, I mean, there are other moments like when Red's leaving the ambulance and he has his breakdown. You'll see Kaplan and Nick having a conversation at the ambulance in the background. And normally, I mean, that could just be nothing. But the way it's shot, it's centered to your point of view.
Oh, yeah.
So the way it's shot, and I know it's hard because I think a lot of people missed it because Red's moment was so impactful, so emotional, and Spader did such a great job. People are watching that performance, but really, it's centered. Like, the director centered that shot of Kaplan and Nick talking. In my mind, this is just me as a viewer, right? I think they don't want us to think that Liz is really dead, even though they call it Blacklist Bombshell, and that's what the marketing department does and everything else. I think they want us to think she faked her own death. I think they gave us enough clues to feel that way.
It was pretty telegraphed, I thought, with the Kaplan stuff. Is it possible? Yeah. Could that work?
Yeah, and what that means for Red, well, we're going to talk about that in a second. And we'll have a little bit more on the Kaplan thing, because once we get to Liz, that's where we're really going to dive into what we think happened. I mean, we've kind of alluded to some things, but we're going to put down where we think the story's going to go. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're right. Hell. I mean, look at Troy. He's wrong, like, every week.
Been wrong from the beginning. Clearly, Red's a guy, apparently.
Exactly, you moron. All right, Tom. Always wanted a shotgun wedding. That was actually kind of funny.
It was funny. He had a lot of good comedy this week.
He did the yay line, made me crack up. It's fine. We're having a baby. Yay. I love that. Okay, the accident. He's an awful getaway driver. Just awful. Why they had to hit that garbage truck or whatever makes no sense to me. You have brakes, man. Hit them. I don't understand why he had to hit that garbage truck.
It was an older vehicle, first of all. ABS didn't exist. And maybe the brake lines were just, you know, because he was such a bad driver, he'd been stamping on the brakes, making the spins around the corners. Maybe the brake lines just gave out. It's possible.
I'm just saying, for a trained assassin, apparently they didn't have motor skills as part of the test.
He wants to make sure he's only good in a Mustang. That's it.
I'm just saying, man. I'm watching it going, what? And I rewatched it. I watched the episode twice, and I rewound that one a couple times because I'm just like, why did he have to hit the garbage truck, man? Slam on the brakes, let the car pass you by, back up, switch, go the other way. It's a narrow street. It would be great. And instead, he hit the garbage truck. You didn't have to hit the garbage truck. That's one of those story-related accidents where you kind of had to hit the garbage truck to keep the story moving.
I mean, kind of like the pregnant lady hanging out the window?
Yes.
Taking the corners at 100 miles an hour?
Yes. Although I did like that. I kind of liked that Liz had a lot of spark in her, and she's going to, you know what? I'm pregnant. They're not going to shoot me. I'm going to shoot back at him. I kind of liked having a pregnant lady having a gunfight. That was kind of fun to me. But yeah, a lot of good moments with Tom. That accident helps trigger the baby needing to come out. The magical moment, Tom drops that record and the strobe lights during birth. I thought that was great. And then you have the naming the baby, which...
This is probably more controversial than the death itself.
I mean, there's a lot of people that really don't like the name. I do want to say before we talk about the name, and we'll talk about Baby Agnes and the name in a minute, but I do like that he voiced the audience where he said, you know, that's an old lady's name. And really, I like that he was against the name, and the only reason he went with Agnes is because, you know, Liz theoretically is dead.
Yep.
Or that's the way I took it. That's the way I took it. So I like that.
Because he could change it. Agnes would never know, and Liz would never know.
Mm-hmm.
Until Liz finally does know when she comes back. Hell hath no fury.
Absolutely. And I do want to point out, Liz and Tom have a conversation about going to the beach, right?
Yep.
After this is all over.
You're going to take my baby to the beach if this doesn't work out?
Yep. And I want to point out that this works perfectly if you subscribe to the fake death theory. If you believe that Liz has faked her death, this conversation works both as if she doesn't know she's going to die and if it's a fake death. It works completely both ways.
Yeah, so for all the people on Twitter that like yelling, oh, the writers don't know what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. There are so many lines in this episode that can be taken both ways every single time.
Yeah, like I do love, what?
What a way
to piss Lissington shippers off and the people going for the father-daughter thing, man. That worked for both.
Right.
Everybody thought their theory is right this week.
I do love that you're going to be my grandpa, my baby's grandpa.
I do love that we're going to get married after this. You can take it just about any way you want. I thought it was great.
And now you know why we made it the question of the week.
Yep, absolutely. I hope somebody has something really offensive. the last thing about Tom before we move into the final three, really, is I personally thought the way that Ryan Eggold played his hesitation to let Red hold Agnes was beautiful. I don't know if if it really only spoke to me or not, but that's all I saw was his reluctance to let him hold her.
Right, because the question now becomes, you have to go all the way back to the beginning because you have to remember Red hired Tom and put Tom in this position to begin with. So now the question is does Tom have to rely on Red to keep Agnes safe, or does Tom resent Red for the rest of his life now because Liz is dead? Because we don't know if Tom necessarily was in on it or not. Because Kaplan only discussed it with Nick specifically.
All right, Sparky, you went way deeper than I did. My theory was he just doesn't, you know, Red keeps putting people in danger and he doesn't want his daughter to be part of it. That's really all I got.
Tom puts his own people in danger. What difference does it make if Red's holding him?
It's different, man. It's your daughter. It's a different world. You don't care about other people as much as your own child. And there's just no getting around it. And he had a definite hesitation that I don't think had anything to do with anything that happened before. It just had to do with he knows who this man is and the danger that he surrounds himself with. And he wants his daughter as far away from him as possible.
Even though 2 seconds ago, he's like, oh, I can't do this on my own.
Yeah, but that wasn't about Red. That was because he wanted Liz, you know. And,
true.
Or maybe he's selling the fakeness of everything.
And then, of course, this all comes into the parallelism then.
Yep, sure does. All right, Baby Agnes, real quick, named after Sam's mom. So in case you missed it, some people did apparently. Agnes was Sam's mom. Sam was
her adopted father.
Adopted father who passed away.
By Red's murdered.
Hand. Yeah, by Red's hand. We say passed away. Really, he was just killed. He was murdered in his bed.
Sympathy killing.
By Red Reddington. Yeah. Sorry, Liz. I just accidentally, killed your dad. Yeah. Yeah. A little reminder also that
while Tom was
Red
out,
is a villain. A lot of people giving me credit because I said Red's a bad guy. Red is a bad guy. He killed her dad. I don't care if it's sympathy or not. He still did it. Everybody gave Kevorkian a bunch of grief.
While her husband, fake husband, was sitting outside waiting to talk to him.
Exactly.
Still a great scene.
I mean, you can love him, but he's still not a great guy. Right. Yeah. Okay, so what do you think about the name?
Because they actually put in that it was after Sam's mom, I'm okay with the name. It's still weird to say Agnes because it does sound a little bit dated.
It's like a grandma name.
Yeah. I was really hoping for Samantha after Sam. So at least for me, it satisfied the she would recognize Sam as an important part of her life and therefore wanted to have something tied to Sam. So because of that, I'm okay with the choice.
I agree. Sam or Samantha is kind of what I thought it was going to be. Now, maybe that was too on the nose, so maybe it was too easy. But I like that the writers chose the line, everything old becomes new again with the baby. I thought that was a very sweet and touching.
Perfect.
Yeah, line, and it worked for me. So I'm good with Agnes. Now, would I ever name my child Agnes?
Hell no.
Hell no. She's going to get her ass whooped in elementary school. But it is what it is.
Hey, Aggie, come on over.
Yeah, come on over. That kid better be tough. Like, she better train to be a ninja because people are going to be all over her. All right, Red.
She ends up becoming a techie because she skips a gene pool. Her mom and dad are badass assassins, and she's the computer geek.
Oh, there you go. Then you can be like a little Batman thing. She can be Barbara Gordon.
That's why Ron would be the good godfather. Just saying.
I think he would be the godfather, wouldn't he?
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, who else? I mean, well, I guess you could go with Cooper, but he's more like the grandpa.
Right.
Yeah.
Grandpa Red. Coop.
I love the music switch. There's a little music cue.
Oh, it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliantly done. When the camera focused on Red after Agnes is born, and it's like the swelling emotion of music, it's all happy and smiles, and then it goes ominous the very last minute. Oh, man, it was beautifully done. Beautifully done.
So the question is, when you heard that, what did you think of?
You know, you always
moment?
Say that this is the question is. You should preface it. So Troy's question is, because my question usually isn't whatever the hell you're talking about.
Other people probably had the same thing. Why did the music swell down? What was Red thinking in that moment? Or what is the writers and the music director wanting you to think in that moment because they chose to make that musical tone the way they did?
What do you think? Do you have an opinion?
I do have an opinion.
Oh, let's hear it.
So my opinion is, like I just mentioned, that this is parallelism. So literally in that moment, he's like, oh, crap, it's happening again. This is the same thing.
I hate when you
thing.
Use big words.
I know. Crap is such a big one.
No, parallelism.
He's saying, gosh, this is exactly the same situation I was in with Katerina and Masha. And now there was a tweet that went out on Twitter. I think we could say it now because the show's aired. But Daniel Cerrone said in this episode, I'm just going to say that circle of life is important. So you could say circle of life is the baby was born, Liz dying. I think circle of life meant, holy crap, this is the exact same situation repeating itself for Red.
So it's not that Elton John's doing a cameo next week?
No.
Okay. Well, that's too bad.
Although that would have been better if Tom could have gotten Elton John to actually sing at the birth. That would have been a different.
Oh, yeah. Little Lion King reference. Why not?
Piano just wheels in from the side, you know?
Oh, that would be great. It would fit. It would fit the mirror ball. Yeah, absolutely. Man, I kind of see it your way. I kind of see it your way.
Yeah. And then it was kind of confirmed if you did see the trailer in a way.
I didn't see the trailer. You know, I never watch them. I know. Very rarely do I watch them. Every once in a while, I'll accidentally see it. But I usually hit that start button before NBC rolls into it.
There was a line in the trailer, and I was like, that stop line button, is a stop. Great line. And that makes me excited for next week. Uh-huh. Even more.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're coming up on the end. So, I mean, we've only got about another month of episodes.
Yep.
Ooh.
I think five left, right? Five left.
Five or six, something like that. I mean, there's a variance depending on who you're following on Twitter. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. We're not going to say anything until it's confirmed. Love the performance throughout the episode. I think James Spader did a wonderful job. I think we talked about that it's Emmy worthy. But I think, you know, every week on this show, we talk about Red Reddington. I think the last month, month and a half, it's really been more Liz focused or team focused. It hasn't been as much on Red himself. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that we're at the point now where it almost parallels season one in a lot of ways at this point. It's like that Berlin saga. So you're focused on Red because Berlin was after Red. So I think that we're back into that kind of swing of things. And I love that because I think we have been focused away from Red for too long.
Yes, I do too. And here's what I want to say. What we don't do normally is spend too much time talking about Spader and his performance, Jane Spader and his performance. And I know everybody else does. Everybody loves him. That's their favorite part of the show. Spader brings it every week. And, you know, we've talked about how it's too bad he hasn't gotten an Emmy for this. There are a lot of great actors on television. I'm not taking away from anybody else.
And we don't talk about it because he is a masterclass when you talk about his performance.
It's almost like we take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So this week, and the reason I kind of want to make sure to mention it this week and point it out this week is that if the performance doesn't work for this episode, none of the episode works. His performance completely and soundly makes this episode fly. And I know he does that in several episodes, and I know his story time is great and people love that. But in this particular episode, because there's so much emotion, Liz is really in a coma or unconscious a lot of the time, or, you know, not a huge factor drama-wise because she can't really do a whole lot. His reaction to the I do love line, his reaction to the baby being born, his reaction to Liz dying and not taking it the way that everybody expected him to do it, the little nuances, the little ticks, the little homages to great work before him. He is a wonderful actor. He always has been. I've been a fan, like I've said before, I've been a fan of his since the 80s. I'm not a new fan. I'm not just because of Blacklist. I like Jane Spader. I love Jane Spader. And he's always had this ability to take a character and do quirky word things with it that other actors wouldn't try. And he does that throughout this episode. And I think it's a perfect example of why this show works so well. Even the episodes where the writing isn't as strong, because it's a filler episode, you've got so many episodes, you know, you're trying, they have to jam in many cases of the week. Even in those weeks, he's stellar. He's always at the top of his game. But no more so than here. This could have been a very cheesy episode. It could have been a very, you could have just not cared one way or the other. I mean, there are some people that, you know, there's some people that aren't on board with Lizzie as a character because of whatever, her flip-flopping as they see it. Even those people love this episode or like this episode. And most of that is directly in response to how Spader delivered his performance, my opinion.
And it clearly shows, because if you go through the whole episode, one of the best scenes, I thought, besides the one at the end where I obviously cried, because that shows you how good the performance was, that even though I kind of saw everything coming, the fact that Red feels that emotion, now you feel that emotion. But it's the scene right before she goes unconscious from the medicine. He's like standing outside the tent, almost like a kid on Christmas, waiting to just, I want to get in there, I want to get in there. And then when Liz finally motions him in, he jumps in like full force. It's like that important to him, and just that scene just shows you how critical Liz is in his life. And then of course he delivers that great line about how the children grow up to save the world kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not saying any of that to take away from Megan Boone. I think she did an admirable job here as well. I just think Spader is he's just one of those actors, man. He's a rare breed. He just is, and I think this performance really shone for him. Really did.
And if he truly does not know, and he truly is assuming that Liz is dead and believes that Liz is dead, then the flip side of this emotional roller coaster is going to be scary.
Oh, yeah. I'm seriously, I want a Punisher t-shirt at some point. Or maybe he has it's a red skull, huh? A red skull on his t-shirt. And he's just walking around. He's got a leather jacket on and a shotgun in one hand and an Uzi in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a machete in the other and a shotgun. Yeah.
He's Rambo and Commando combined.
The Redisher.
Redisher. There you go.
Hashtag Redisher. Okay. So Liz. She says throughout the episode, if you really pay attention, she's alluding to her own fake death herself. My opinion. And I keep saying my opinion because I'm not speaking for the world, just for me. Reddington is lying to me. I know it. If my mother wasn't trying to abduct me, why would she hire Solomon to abduct me and call me Masha? It's the only way to get me out from under his grip. These are some of the lines she says throughout the episode. So,
which is why people think that maybe Kaplan was in the car. Maybe Kaplan was realizing that Red can't protect her. So that's why Kaplan is trying to, you know, facilitate a way for Liz to escape.
Now, wait a minute. That would mean that Kaplan would orchestrate an all-out assault on everyone. And risk getting Red killed, risk getting Dembe killed. I don't think she'd ever do that.
I don't think so either. I'm just saying that's where some people might make the jump.
Oh, I gotcha. I mean, that would be a... Wow, that would be a really insane twist. But I don't see that one at all. That's not part of my theory at all.
That would
be cool, maybe. Or, you know, if you do it right, it could be pretty cool.
I mean, you had Mr. Vargas, and then you had kind of the... Red's network coming apart in season two, where you kind of had the mole on the inside, but we haven't had the someone really close to Red being the mole story yet. So could it be possible that there would be an eventual mole insider story kind of thing?
I would be surprised because he's worked with these people forever, but I mean, they are criminals.
But Newton Phillips turned on them.
That's true. They are criminals. You just never know. You never know. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. But we'll see. You didn't see who was in the car, so it could be Kaplan. You don't know.
And she was pissed. I mean, she was like, this is on you. And we really thought you could actually protect her, but you can't.
Okay, that brings us to the big questions. How did you feel?
Sorry, I was just waiting for her to say, you can't, dearie. I was waiting for the dearie to come out.
You're so big a dork. Well, I guess before we get into the big question, what do you think the I do love? What do you think she's going to say?
I was just going to say, I do love your stories, because that would have been the big thing, right? She always rolls her eyes at his stories every time he gives them. And now here he's delivering yet another story. And I think it would have been funny for her to say, I do love your stories.
I think if you pay attention to her in the car, and this is how I see it. If you pay attention to her in the car, when she's obviously fed up and frustrated with Reddington, sure, you know, her life's always in danger. And a lot of people are like, well, stop whining, Liz, da da da. Her life is always in danger because of this association. It's not like she ever wanted this. People forget that. This character has had to go through hell. The only thing that she has actually done was shot Connolly. That's the only thing that she's actually done. Everything else has been done to her.
Because Red drove her to shoot Connolly in some way, yeah, shape,
so
or form.
You could even put that one on Red, honestly. So, I mean, you know, cut her some slack. I don't know, nobody wants, or some people that are in that camp don't want to. I totally am going to cut you some slack, Liz. So you've got in the car when she talks about that, and then you've got where she literally just goes off on him in the maternity ward of the nightclub. You know.
Which get him out of here. Get him out of here.
Every nightclub should have one, because you never know. So you've got that, and then you've got... you've got her saying, get out of here. This is my daughter. She's very firm, very protective, very, very motherly, that she doesn't want that influence interfering with her child. Right. So you've got that. And then you've got a complete flip, which some people are saying, well, that's a flip flop. No, you can look at it that way. You can look at it as in, you know, she realizes that this might be the last moment of her life. And she wants to clear the air with Red and let her know. She does appreciate him caring for her. She knows he cares about her, and I want you to know. Or you can see it as, I realize that I'm going to fake my death, and if there's bad blood, he might not buy it as much. I need him on my side when I try to pull this off.
Yeah, she could have been saying, like, I really do hope you rot in hell for everything you put me through.
Mm-hmm. How do you see it?
I still think that it was just something like, I do really care that you watched out for me, or... something.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I think it was just, I, well, no, she said, I do love.
Right.
She
I
said,
do. I do, love. I do love the way you care about me, or I do love that you try to protect me, or something of that, you know, something of that accord.
So not, I do love you.
I don't think she was. And even if she said, I do love you as a father, love you as a lover, love you as someone that cares about me. Like, I love you, Aaron. I mean, I love doing the show with you, but it doesn't mean that I love you, you know?
I mean, well, that's kind of it's kind of a jackass thing to say, man. I mean, after all this time.
Well,
I thought things were a little different.
Your wife told me that she's, you know, I can't move in. I'm sorry.
This show just took a sour turn. I really want to be done now. I want to be over.
See, at least I could get him to cry, guys.
My eyes are red. All right, so what's the theory? Let's bring it into the big question, because I really don't care. I don't love you. We're done. Son of a bitch. You dum-dum. All right, so that brings us to the big question. How do you feel about Lizzie's death? Do you think Lizzie is actually dead?
No. Not at all.
Did you at any point think she was actually dead?
Like, really, really dead? Like, on the show?
What else is there? No, just kind of dead, Troy. Just kind of like hanging out in the afterlife.
Like, do I physically believe in my gut that she is dead, never coming back on the show, kind of dead? Or was there ever a glimmer in my mind, like, could they actually pull this off dead?
Yes. Either one. I guess take it both ways.
Well, it did cross through my mind that if I'm an actress working in Hollywood, I'm going to have this child. It's my first child. Maybe she does want some time off from the show. So could she be dead? 10%? Because, again, she's like one of the leading characters, and we still have this, what's the connection, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So because of that, I'm like, yeah, fake death, 90%, really dead, 10%. But there is the slightest, you know, really dead in the back of my mind.
Okay, I had 0%. I really, and maybe that's like TV jadedness. I don't know, but I know how these things are in the age of the internet. And there was
trying to be more for the audience. I'm like 99% fake death and 1% she's really, really dead. But the 1% is there because it's the Blacklist. You know, if there's one show that could pull it off, it would be this show.
Now, why do you say that?
Because we just have all this misdirection all along, right? We have the, is he the father? Is he not the father? Is Cooper got the thing in his head? Does he have cancer? Does he not have cancer? And so this is the show that's got so much like crap that's been woven over the years that you can plant that 1% seed of doubt and then find out that it comes true. And you're like, damn it, they got me. And you would love it.
Yeah, I guess that's possible. Now, I just never had it because, I think even if she's on maternity, if she wasn't working because she's coming to term, I mean, like, her baby's almost being born, I still think she would be giving interviews saying I left the show and da da da. I think they would confirm that she is no longer with the show, that sort of thing. So I definitely don't think that.
Now, the reason we like this episode, though, is because even though we thought 99% fake death, even going in, or that they would have to put her in hiding or something, it's because Red wasn't in on the plan. That's what makes the episode awesome.
Yes, absolutely. And I do want to point to Entertainment Weekly did an interview with Jane Spader, and they asked him the question, is Elizabeth Keen really dead? And I want people to pay attention to his answer, okay? Because I think Jane Spader is Red Reddington at this point. I think he has merged a character with that actor. But his answer was, I think it's most prudent, not only as just myself and what I know or don't know for that, but also in terms of the character of Reddington, Elizabeth Keen is dead. That's totally I'm not going to answer your actual question, but in the mindset of Red Reddington, yes, in Red Reddington's mind, Elizabeth Keen is dead. He is not in that quote saying, yes, absolutely, Elizabeth is dead. He is saying, as Raymond Reddington, she's dead.
Right. So we had to skirt around fake death, but for the show's perspective, Reddington's character 100% believes Liz is gone.
Yeah, it's basically like the Glenn moment from Walking Dead this past season, only done right.
Exactly right. Good Lord.
So if you guys are from the Blacklist by chance listening to this, you did this one way better than Walking Dead did.
Way better.
Way better. Way better. Okay, so we both subscribe. We think Liz is not dead. Now, do you think the showrunners were trying to convince us that she was dead, or, like I said earlier, really it was more about trying to convince us that Red believes she's dead?
Do the showrunners try to convince us?
Yeah. Do you think they want the audience to believe that Liz is dead, or do they want us? Are they giving us more than enough clues to see it that she's not really dead, but someone is orchestrating it?
I'm going to say they are giving you all kinds of clues, and if you're a smart Blacklist watcher, you would have picked up on these clues a long way. And it all goes back to one the lawyer episode, right? When they pull up the plan, it's like, could we actually pull this off? We'd have to hit all green lights. Da 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 da. That's telling you that there's a plan from the get-go, from the writer's room, about what direction the show's going to go. And then they set up things like the longevity initiative with jellyfish that can make you live forever. And then they set up things like Crispin Crandall, like some of these episodes that we didn't like, are because those are the Clue episodes, because with Sir Crispin Crandall, you could cryogenically freeze somebody and then still have them come back to life, according to Crispin Crandall anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, of course, Drexel, which was very recent, and you have the scene in the Japanese restaurant when Dembe's like, what's Fugo Chemo? And Red says, blowfish liver. It contains a poison 1,200 times deadlier than cyanide. So lethal, a single fish can kill 30 grown men. And Dembe says, people eat this stuff? And Red says, no, legally not. But as with most dangerous endeavors, there are those who feel compelled. And then he says, tetrodotoxin first creates a tingling in the lips, then the hands, and if you're lucky and your chef is meticulous, you can survive with a story and an adrenaline rush. But if you're not, the poison can kill you in minutes. So then, of course, you have to go look up, well, what is tetrodotoxin? And is this just some writer speak, or is this a real thing?
And by the way, I want to commend you, because before the show, when you mentioned this tetrodotoxin, you said it about 8 times, and they were all wrong.
I know. I got it right so far.
So well done.
So tetrodotoxin, otherwise known as TTX, is real, people. If you eat the organs, like the liver, of a pufferfish, it can contain levels of tetrodotoxin sufficient to produce the described paralysis of the diaphragm and corresponding death due to, get it, respiratory failure.
What?
Just saying.
Well done.
Tetrodotoxin also serves as a plot device for characters to fake their death in films such as Hello Again in 1987, Captain America Winter Soldier in 2014, and the TV episodes of Nikita on the CW and Chuck on NBC.
Wow, you really brought the facts.
That's right.
I was just like, man, they probably gave her something and she faked her death.
So combine all of that knowledge from the internet, because everything you learn on the internet is true, and everything that Kaplan does with Nick in this episode, and yeah, fake death 100%.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to start a Wikipedia page that says I am a magnificent lover. Okay, so I guess who would you think...
I already said I love you. You don't have to rub it in.
Who would you think is in on it? If you subscribe to that theory, that the bigger question for me is not so much do you believe it, but who is in on it?
Kaplan and Nick for sure, and then whoever was on the other end of Kaplan's phone. I don't think Tom was in on it.
Now, some people, I've had this conversation.
So Liz would obviously be in on it because they were talking about it with Liz, but I don't think Tom is in on it.
Here's the conversation that I've had with people, okay? Is when I say that definitely I think Liz is dead, they say, the response, or several of the responses has been, well, you really think a mother would leave her baby, her newborn baby, and just leave, take a chance of leaving that baby? What do you think?
I think she loves Tom enough that knows that Tom would take care of the baby, and Tom is more than capable of taking care of the baby. So if it means that she can get out from Reddington's thumb and eventually reunite with Tom and the baby, I absolutely think she would.
Okay, well, two things. I definitely think
it'd be
Kaplan
hard.
And,
it'd be hard.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. I do think Kaplan and Nick are in on it. I also think Tom is in on it. And I do think there's a possibility that he's not, because that would be another reason for them to have the beach conversation. Make sure you go to that beach, you know, if things go south. Maybe she needed to do that because, and some people are like, well, that would be really selfish to do that just to get away from Red and leave the baby. I don't think that would necessarily be the case. It would be more about protecting the baby, because they aren't going to stop coming after her until she's dead. So obviously they want her, or until they have her, I should say. They want her far more than they want that baby. Like, it's not so much somebody wants Liz or Masha. So she's trying to both make them stop, get the focus away from the child, and also get the focus, get Red's attention off of her, because he will never let her leave.
Right.
He just won't. And, you know, no matter what she does, he will always find her and be lording over her.
And here's why I don't think Tom, or at least why I don't want Tom involved in the plan. And mm-hmm. I think it goes back to, we're friends with S.S. Wilson. He talked about, you know, this concept of when you're writing story and plot and things of that, there has to be a reason.
He's the writer of Tremors, yes, Short Circuit, and he's been on the remake show that we do.
Yes. He said that you have to have a reason for someone to want to go through the door. And if you don't know what's on the other side of the door, but you don't know the reason for going through the door, then you have a problem with your story. And I think that going forward in these last couple of episodes, there has to be a reason for Tom and Red to either work together, or there has to be a reason for Tom and Red to be against each other. And both of those reasons involve them both believing that Liz is dead, like truly believing Liz is dead, not fake believing Liz is dead. So I think the storyline as it goes forward between Tom and Red has to work with Tom thinking Liz is truly dead also.
That's an interesting way to look at it. Do you think Dembe would be involved? Because he did know about the fish.
He knew about the fish, but maybe he was just like having like coffee with Kaplan and like, hey, you told me this cool story. And then Kaplan's like, I got to write that one down.
So you don't think he would betray Rhett?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't either. I'm just trying to cover the bases, man.
Otherwise Dembe would be, because of Dembe's loyalty to Red, Dembe would be helping dispose of the body. And because he wasn't disposing of the body, I think that's why he's not in on it.
He also has to take care of Red. I mean, Red's looks like he's about ready to collapse, so.
Yeah, Wrestler was there, though. Wrestler could walk him to the car and done the same thing.
That's not the same thing. When your boy just lost someone very special to him, whatever that relationship that someone special has, you definitely got to be there for your boy.
True. It could have gone both ways, though. I mean, if you think about the way Dembe would process Red, and if this was so important to Red, Dembe would make sure that it gets done and taken care of because of the loyalty to Red.
Right.
So it could go either way. So maybe he's involved, maybe he's not. I don't know. Definitely Kaplan, definitely Nick, definitely Liz. Definitely, sure.
Yeah, definitely Liz. I mean, she'd have to be involved.
Definitely.
Okay, so I guess we're split on Tom. I think Tom does know what's going on. You think Tom does not know what's going on.
So we'll put it out to the audience. Which side are you on? Tom's in, Tom's out.
Team Aaron, Team Troy. You know whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say, you know, if they really wanted to mess with the audience, just in theory, if you really wanted to convince the audience that Liz is really dead, just in case they're trying to convince it, maybe that is the case. I don't know. Maybe it is. The way that they could do that is in the next episode, maybe two episodes, Red explains the entire relationship. If he does that, if that happens in, say, the next episode or maybe the episode after that, where he explains his entire connection to Liz, then that would throw some percentages on my is Liz dead scale.
Because here's the thing. So we were talking about two points here. Number one point being, how would we actually learn about the relationship between Liz and Red by the end of the season?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this does play into that, because now that Elizabeth is dead, according to Red, just based on the article from Entertainment Weekly, Red clearly thinks Liz is dead. Red is now free to give up that information because Liz won't find out about it. So that's how they can tell the audience what it's all about without Liz still not knowing about it. And two, we said, could the show survive without Liz on the show? And I think this is another way to find out over the next couple of weeks if that's possible.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Whew, man. That's a lot. There's a lot that happened, and I think there's a lot that's going to keep happening. So next week we'll have a whole new world. Oof. All right, man. Is there anything else you want to talk about from this episode, or do you want to move into our feedback and Red's Rhetoric stuff?
Yeah, I think we're going to have a lot of feedback from the fans, and I'd love to see what some people are thinking, if they're agreeing with us, or if they're like, no, man, she's dead forever.
Yeah, aren't you going to feel really stupid if she is actually dead?
No, not at all. Because I have the 1% in the back of my mind. I'll be like, if they pull it off, good for you. Bravo. I will stand up and give the standing ovation and ask for the encore. You know, because I think it was brilliant.
Would you really want that to be how Megan Boone left the show, though?
Honestly, I mean, yeah, as a TV fan, do I want the grandioso, you know, things like, you know, the end of season 3 of Lost comes to mind. Brilliantly done, like bawling for weeks after that happened.
Not Jenny's boat.
No. Yeah. Do I want something like that? Sure. Do I want that in the vein of Liz's character? No, I don't think so. I think if this was done the way it was, and the show is ultimately about Reddington, then this is fine. You know, if the show's ultimately about Liz, then no, it's not fine. And I think that's one of the things, like, I hate to reference Lost, but everybody's like, what's the show about? Is it about the island? Is it about Jack? Is it about these people? And when you find out what it's really all about, then you make the connections. You go, okay, I was okay with these choices that were made along the way. So mm-hmm. when we find out what the true, like, what is the Blacklist and what is this all about at the end, if she is truly, truly dead, then you can come back and say, yeah, I'm okay with that. Or, man, that was stupid. And they just totally missed.
Do you think maybe we as a jaded TV nation are too quick to want resolution?
I don't want resolution. I want the story. I love the character stuff. So any show that
I just mean some people. I mean, I see some people.
Oh, there's definitely TV fans that are like, you know, TV. I don't want to say TV's life, right? Because TV's life for us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's people that are like super uber invested that you'll throw out stuff too quick. And you have to be more of the, I don't want to say critical TV watcher, but you have to be involved enough that you can say, you know what, I chose to watch this because I want to see the story unfold.
Right.
And that's why even last year when we were like, oh, this is so annoying, season two, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, just let it play out. We even said that with the baby. It's like, just let it play out. The hookup scene, let's let it play out. And I think because it plays out, you get to see those tender moments like Samar and Wrestler in this episode. And you appreciate that moment that much more because of the setup that you had.
I absolutely agree. I just did a really bad Australian accent. All right. Well, the show's not over. Please don't go anywhere because we have a lot more to talk about. But remember to download the Blacklist Exposed app for iOS and Android. Be sure to go even deeper into the mystery of Red Reddington by visiting our partner Blacklist site, theblacklistnbc.com, where there's actually an interview with Mr. Solomon himself, Mr. Eddie Gathegi. Check it out in their interrogation room today. He doesn't explain how he missed the car driving away at the front, but hey, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? And of course, don't forget, we need your support. Podcast awards are here. Make sure you set in your singular one nomination ballot per email address, but we didn't tell you that. Again, goldenspiralmedia.com/podcast awards to submit your nomination ballot and get all the information that you need to support our other shows here on the network. Also, just want to give a quick shout out to Rob from the great Blacklist community on Reddit. So glad you found us. It's going to be a gas. Stick around.
Okay, we'll be right back with this week's Red's Rhetoric after this amazing promo. Are you sick of the endless, poorly realized remakes as we are? Then take a listen to Remake This Movie Right, where we take a classic movie, figure out what works and what doesn't, throw a dash of humor at it, and then we craft our own remake. So by the end of every episode, we will remake this movie right. Recently featured as a podcast to listen to by the AV Club, you can find us at RemakeThisMovieRight.com or your podcast app of choice. Every movie you love will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better. I do want to point out that the next episode of this particular show has S.S. Wilson, who wrote Short Circuit and Tremors, and he's actually going to help Troy and I remake The Howling.
Spring is in the air for the Northern Hemisphere, and with April bullet showers come Blacklist wedding flowers. As Red Flowers won last week with 56% of the vote, this week our first scene comes when Red is starting to feel the stress of everything he put Liz through.
Perimeter defense is in place. Exits, rooftops, and lookouts on all avenues of approach for a 6-block radius. Everything will be fine, Raymond.
Oh, for God's sake, Tembe, spare me the mystical reassurance. Everything is not fine.
Where the hell was the perimeter defense of that damn church? You should have deployed 4 teams. 5 teams. Look at her. Lying there in this barbaric situation with her child's life at risk. Everything is not fine. She never should have been in that godforsaken church.
Stop it, Raymond. This has little to do with Tembe and nothing to do with that poor girl in there. She's been telling you for months that you're a danger to her baby. This is on you, Raymond, nobody else. You were wrong to make her believe you could keep her safe. You made us all believe.
Our second scene is when Red finally gets to talk to Liz at her bedside.
I'm sorry I kicked you out. It wasn't fair after all you've done for me.
I've done nothing for you, Lizzie.
I'm scared for my little girl.
Push the meds. It's the children whom the world almost breaks who grow up to save it.
I don't want that for her.
I wasn't talking about her. I was talking about you, Elizabeth.
Which was your favorite this week? If you think there should have been 5 teams protecting the church, then vote Red Tembe. And if you truly believe it is the children who grow up to save the future, vote Red Liz.
All right, now it's time for Special Agent Intel. Are you ready? Are you ready, Troy?
Ready.
Thoughts on this episode? Sci-Fi Gene says, at the end of the episode, right before Red walked away from the ambulance, he said, I don't want to lose her even more. Have my men deal with it. That line makes me suspect that they just faked her death just to keep her safe. I'm not sure if they barely stabilized her or if the whole emergency after the baby delivery was part of the plan. Speaking of that, my question is there any possibility for you that Red knows about this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Clearly, so you'd be stunned if he did.
I'd be stunned if he did, especially because the Entertainment Weekly article says, from James Spader, Red thinks she's dead.
Yep. Pretty much, yep.
And if he comes back and says, I knew it all along, I'll be like, damn you, you Lindelofed me.
That is an actual thing, being Lindelofed. It means several different things, too.
It does. Doc H. wrote in, said, good news. Tom Keene and Agnes Keene survived the attack. Bad news. Agnes, sweetie, meet Gina Zanatakos. She's going to be your new stepmommy.
Oh, sweet. I will help him. I will be the babysitter if they need one.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Best news. Megan Boone comes back to the show in fall of 2017. She gets to play the role of a lifetime, her 50-something mysterious mother that was once the apple of Red's eye.
That would be funny.
It would be different. Oh, and Boz lives. Yeah. And also, he kind of gives us a little seussical rhyme here, seussing it up just a little bit. He says, she puzzled and puzzled till her puzzler was sore. Then Mr. Kaplan thought of something she hadn't before. Maybe childbirth, she thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe childbirth, perhaps, means a little bit more. And what happened then? Well, in Redville, they say, Mr. Kaplan's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And then the true meaning of childbirth came through, and Mr. Kaplan found the strength of 10 dembes plus 2. Very nicely done, sir.
I don't know what to say to that. You just did a Dr. Seuss rhyme for the Blacklist, and I kind of want to applaud, and I'm also a little creeped out. And I don't want you anywhere near my children. All right, James, I came to the conclusion that she's not dead. I believe this for 2 reasons. Number one, she was induced by the doctor with medication that would give the appearance of death. All will be in a plan by a few to throw Solomon off course. And the only way to do that would be to fake her death. I just can't believe that they're going to kill off the leading lady of the show. To me, it's irrational, not logical. To start with, I thought she was going to be in a coma, and probably everybody else did too. But when they went to that extreme, it really didn't make any sense. I may be wrong, but I believe it could have a large negative impact on the show if she was dead for good. I agree. I think Liz is important to the show. That, number two, that she really did die, however, at some point, she will suddenly start breathing again on her own, which is known as autoresuscitation, which rarely happens in reality. According to the medical journals, it has occurred about 38 times. John is a very creative and imagineering person with the insights of his audience and keeps them on the edge of their seats.
Auto-resuscitation would be an interesting way, because, again, if it's only happened 38 times, but it has happened, Blacklist would be the show to use it.
Yep.
While she's in the body bag, buried in the ground in a casket and trying to get out.
Or lost, and they use it to explain that stupid island. All right.
The spider thing, yeah. She's actually paralyzed, but dead. Andrew will start off by saying, wow, can't believe that they killed Liz, or did they? I find it hard to believe that Liz is actually dead. It seems too out of left field. Plus, we still have about a zillion unanswered questions. I thought it was more like quadzillion, but okay.
That's a lot. That's so many.
Red's relationship to Liz that would seem now to be irrelevant if she's actually dead. Disagree. But this isn't this is the kind of show that can bring people back from the dead and still keep its credibility. We don't have White Walkers and magic sorcerers who can bring the dead back to life. The only possibility is that she is somehow faking her death and even Red isn't aware of it. That is my guess, although even that seems very far-fetched. Unless Megan Boone just wanted out of the show after her pregnancy and this was the best way they could come up with. Who knows, but I am interested to see what happens. Spader in an interview with EW says Liz Keene is dead. If she is well and truly gone, it introduces a new dynamic to the show. It shows that the series can still be alive without her and that she is not Red's only trump card or person to protect. That's right, because it's now baby Agnes.
Mm-hmm.
It also means that the final reveal is on its way and will be here soon. We as fans want all protagonists involved in a plot to come out of it alive, but to see the death of a character around whom the entire plot revolves is a huge disappointment. On a side note, if they ever kill Dembele, Mr. Dembele.
Yeah. He's a new character. He's the twin. He's Dembe's twin.
He's a combination of Dembe and Mr. Kaplan in my head. if they ever killed Dembe, Mr. Kaplan, or Boz, I may have to stop watching. Anyways, let's see what the future holds.
Wow. You'd stop watching if they killed Boz? He's only been in like four episodes, man. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Boz becomes series regular next year.
Yeah, and interesting. I wonder if this whole incident is what could maybe have Tom go to a spinoff. I don't know.
Maybe.
All right. Kevin, I didn't see that coming. However, I don't think we have seen the last of Elizabeth Keen. In the first episode of season three, Red tells her Katerina Rostova was the most clever, resourceful woman he had ever met, and as her daughter, she could escape capture. I'm always impressed with how much you guys remember. Like, sincerely. That's extremely impressive to me. Later in the season, Valav tells Liz her mother faked her own death to avoid capture, but he tracked her to a hotel room where he found a picture of Liz. I believe Liz is doing much the same in order to flush out who is hunting her, as well as separate herself from Reddington, who clearly does not want her to know the truth behind their connection. Free of Reddington, she would be able to pursue her own agenda underground in order to learn more about her and Reddington's past. Mm. Good observations.
Good observations. All right, let's see who's up next. Ah, Suzanne says, I think there is another angle to this fake death, the Red revenge angle. If Red thinks Liz is dead, it will propel him to take out who he thinks is responsible for her death, therefore eliminating the threat to Liz. We should not forget that Red is in revenge mode. He thinks this person killed Liz, so he takes out the threat and Liz can come to life. Red will spend less time protecting Liz and more time eliminating the threat. If Liz returns a different person, another identity, perhaps she could be reinstated as an FBI agent.
I like that's thinking out of the box. I think that would be really hard to pull off.
Yeah, because if she's dead and she comes back to life, then technically is that like a double jeopardy thing? So she didn't really do the thing she did because that was Liz 1.0 versus Liz 2.0?
No, it doesn't work that way. And it's a little harder to get in the FBI than people think. So I think everybody there would remember her. Unless she got like a bunch of facelifts and, you know, that whole thing.
Apparently she's going to look like a 50-year-old mother.
Oh, that would be an interesting twist, wouldn't it? All right, on Facebook, Ellen said, finally, first good episode in a long time. Whoa. I don't think Liz is really dead either. I think Mr. Kaplan, with the help of the ex-boyfriend doctor, faked her death. I don't think Red was in on the plan, so it should be interesting to see how he responds once he finds out the truth. Well, apparently he's going to go on revenge mode and kill everybody with a bitchin' Red Punisher shirt. Kudos to Mr. Kaplan. I hope this means that she will start having a bigger presence on the show in the future, because after Red, she is my favorite character. Amy says, take what Kaplan told Red, that he couldn't protect her. Kaplan took matters into her own hands to fake Lizzie's death. Kaplan, Nick, Tom, Liz, and possibly Dembe are in on this. I don't believe Red is at all.
Agree. Just not the Tom and Dembe part. Linda said, I think Kaplan had the potential need for the plan in her mind already, and she let Tom and Liz in on it as she was driving them to the birth club.
The birth club. Change the name. That would be a great... I would go party there.
Got Why that not? Hashtag birth club.
Let's see. Neil wants to know the following. Liz is in a life-threatening situation. Mr. Solomon is supposed to bring her in alive. Why can't they convince him that she will die if he continues to pursue her? There is no way that he can keep her alive, but they can.
That's a good point. Yeah, why not some bargaining thing?
Yeah. Interesting. There's a lot of interesting different views on how this could go.
Sonia said that Tom picked that cheesy music to throw in some background noise, so plans of the faux death inside the plastic were not heard by anyone else. Or at least I'd hope that's why he'd pick that cheesy tune.
It's possible. It is possible. I don't think so. I think that really felt like a genuine moment, but it's possible. Yeah. Lulu said, anyone else scared about the nuclear meltdown Red's going to inflict now on people? This is going to make the Good Samaritan and Luther Braxton seem like a kiddie's tea party. He's going to be hell on earth.
Damn straight. Yeah. Cannot wait.
I hope so. I hope he just takes everybody out.
Nicole said, am I the only one hoping that Liz is actually really dead? Here's why. One, Does the Blacklist really want to make Red the person that's so bad Liz has to fake a death to escape him? That's a good thought.
I think yes, actually, but I like having someone that we relate to, that we enjoy, and being reminded every now and again, he's that evil. Like, he is that dark. I mean, yes, he care. You can care and still be nefarious, you know?
Yeah, Dr. Evil even had a cat. I mean, just saying. Mm-hmm. I thought that Red was protecting Liz, and now we have Mr. Kaplan scolding him, saying, you got her into this mess. If Red is this big bad guy that Liz needs to escape, what's the point? Which I think is what's the connection, right? You have to know that.
Right.
Two, faking deaths is one of soap opera's biggest tricks. They do it all the time. In serious shows, when someone dies, they're dead. End of story.
I agree with that. Most of the time.
Three, how could Red ever forgive Mr. Kaplan for making him believe Liz was dead when she wasn't? That's the door. That's the good story could come forward from this.
Yeah, I agree, Nicole. If Red knew about it, I would say this is crappy. Or not crappy, but this isn't a storyline I'm behind. Because, I mean, really, you faked a death already once this season, you know?
Right.
Earlier in the season. So, to me, yes, that would be a stretch of credibility. But if Red doesn't know, it could be a lot more interesting, because then you have characters going against each other, characters that he trusts going against him. And I think it could make for a compelling television. Really good. Linda said, Red already knows what they did. I just don't think he knows yet who all is in on it. Back to the fish toxin. They must have administered some orally and not just push it in an IV. And when Red was kissing all over dead Liz, he got exposed slightly. That's why he collapsed on Dembe. Not because of overwhelming emotion like we were supposed to believe. Wow, that's a cool reach, huh?
I would feel bad for whoever was giving her the oral dose then, because it spilled up all on her eyeball. I think she would be blind or something then.
Yeah, what about that? All that kissing, I mean, that's a nice little... it looked fatherly, could have been loverly. You just never know.
Well, the kissing on the forehead is one thing. I don't understand. I've seen this a couple times in other movies and other TV shows. Why do you kiss people on the eye? It's weird.
If you kiss them on the lips, that says one specific thing.
Agree, but you could just kiss her three times on the forehead and be done. Why on the eye?
I think he was just he was having a hard time saying goodbye, so he just kept saying it over and over.
He couldn't see where he was landing his kisses through all his tears.
I know. He was just saying goodbye over and over and over. I'm not going to say goodbye. And then she does wake up, and she's blind in that one eye. Poor thing.
From the fish toxin, not from his saliva.
Yeah, exactly. Why is my head numb?
Oh, my goodness. Cindy, I think Mr. Kaplan faked Lizzie's death, but not to get her out of Red's life, but to protect Lizzie while Red takes care of business. She couldn't tell Red because he had to believe she was dead, as this is the only way Solomon's team and employer would believe she is dead also. I think Nick is in on it, too. I just can't believe Mr. Kaplan would betray Red. Also, I don't think Lizzie would tell Raymond, much more intimate than Red, of course, that she loves him if she wanted to get away from him permanently.
Okay, man. We've got a lot of responses. You know why? Because this episode is one of the most talked about of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, which rightfully it should be, honestly. Isabel, at the end of the episode when Red was holding the baby, I started laughing because this stupid thought popped into my head of, what if Red is really Liz's grandmother, Agnes? Damn it, Troy Heinrichs. God, look what you've done. Look what you've done.
Hey.
And we should say again how sweet a moment that was when Red was holding the baby. I don't know if we really talked about that. That was a beautiful moment.
We need to put that poll up on Twitter or something, too. Like, where's anybody saying, oh, hi, I'm your granddad.
I'm sure somebody's making a meme right now.
Hey, yeah. I loved your mom. Again, it works all different ways. Everybody's theory is still in play.
Sure does. So I wish you were mine. You can do it any way you want. Oh, I'm still going with the father figure-ish, but hey, I get where people are coming from.
I hear you there. All right, let's go ahead and hear some voicemails that came in as well.
Tori from Indiana. I thought the episode was good, but I don't think Liz is dead. I think Mr. Kaplan and Nick and possibly Tom are in on all this. The only way I could believe that she's dead is if they go the rest of the series without Megan Boone, and I don't think that's a possibility. Thanks. Goodbye.
Could the series go on without Megan Boone? That's the big question.
I think it could. I think the one character you can't go on without is Red.
Agree. Mm-hmm. Agree. All right, another voicemail here from Rory.
What's up, Troy? What's up, Aaron? It's your boy, Rory, calling in. Wanted to talk about the conclusion of Mr. Solomon. Gonna say I was a little disappointed. The hype machine was in full effect. Personally didn't think it lived up to the hype. Thought it was a little predictable. And usually the conclusion episodes, if you look at them, the two-parters, usually the second episode's rock solid. And I really didn't see that in this episode. But just wanted to point out a couple of things. One, the car chase scenes, they were lacking. And the second thing was, at the end, when Red and Dr. Nick are in the van with Lizzie, and Dr. Nick's working on Lizzie, he has a defibrillator hooked up, and he's shocking her. The two things I noticed, one, you don't ever shock on the outside of clothing. You always do it on bare skin, because it can actually set fire to clothing. And I've personally seen it where it will set fire to chest hair. The second thing is, if you notice on the screen, it always said 200 joules. Whenever you do that, you always increase the voltage and you'd stack shocks. In other words, you do three of them in between CPR. And he never changed the voltage on that. So just a couple of things that I wanted to point out. I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Look forward to talking to you guys again. I'm out.
And we should point out here that Rory used to be an EMT. That's how he knows this information.
Yeah, my mom's a nurse. I checked, and he's right. So, but and her answer was, "Eh, what are you going to do? It's TV." I'm like, you know, it would be a little distracting to have him like rip open the pregnant woman's shirt and then have to do that. So, you know, sometimes you got to swallow that pill. I think
that you do. That you do. From Twitter, then, we had Lena at Elven Eyes said, "Awesome writing and acting. You pulled another one out of Red's hat and floored me. Well done."
Terry at KT Savage, "I totally did not see that coming. How do they go forward without her, or is he, or without the he is or isn't her dad thing? Crazy."
I don't know. I kind of passed on that in season one, but.
Well, of course. Is he or is he not her mom thing? How about that?
There you go. Thank you.
Is that better?
Love it. Tony at T-Man 1138 PM. "There's nothing to do but sit in silence and shock."
Yeah, my friend Jen, she said she basically just sat at her, stared at her TV for like 15 minutes. She said that on Facebook. I'm like, man, that was very powerful for a lot of people. So it's a big story element. I think what people forget is that maybe you don't love the character Liz because, you know, to some people, I think if you really love Reddington, you're like, man, she's dragging him down because he's always got to take care of her and stuff like that. I think some people see it that way. But most people that I know that are big fans of the show really connect to Liz. So that's a huge character for the show to even contemplate no longer being there.
And the best part about it is that even in death, the Tom and Liz relationship continues just to piss off Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch. All right, but they didn't get married, so it worked out fine for me. Worked out fine for me. I win. Yay.
That's awesome.
And finally, Sarah at Sarah Hickel summed up the fandom by saying, "Holy f-, that is all." I think that says enough.
Yay.
All right, I think it's a good time to close it out. Great show, guys. Well done. It's definitely got people talking. And I said that at the beginning of the show. Whenever people are passionate about a show, this is the kind of reaction you're going to get when things like this happen. I thought it was well done. Well, that's going to conclude this episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Blacklist GSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed. And we use the show's hashtag, The Blacklist. We also have a Facebook group. Just search for The Blacklist Exposed and join us for the fun.
And just to be clear, when you don't see tweets coming out from us, it's probably because we're really intensely watching the show because it's good. Like it was for that last 10 minutes.
Or we're busy faking our own death.
Well, it felt like inappropriate to actually tweet out during that moment, too. So I was tweeting this week. I chose not to tweet.
It felt inappropriate?
It did. Like people
my
are like,
God.
Well, if you're emotionally invested in the moment and you're like, you don't want to like throw out a tweet. It's like, oh, Red slipped on a banana peel.
You realize Megan Boone's okay. All right. So it's not like a real person died.
But it was that last 5 minutes of Red's emotional connection. I was crying, okay? I can't tweet when I'm crying.
I'm cackling. Okay.
All right. Don't forget goldenspiralmedia.com/podcast awards. Please nominate us in the TV and film category. If we can't win, unless we are nominated. So please fill out your one ballot. We have some other shows that we'd like you to support as well. GoldenSpiralMedia.com/podcast awards for all of the details.
And I also want to say too, because I know some of the cast and crew listen, if anybody talks to Megan Boone, please give her our best. We wish her the best on the upcoming birth of her baby. Congratulations. That should be a magical moment. And I hope you don't name it Agnes, honestly, but I'm sure it'll be a beautiful birth.
She can name it whatever she wants.
She's not Agnes.
Leave her alone.
Aaron works both ways. I'm just saying. E-R-I-N, A-A-R-O-N, either one works. You can also subscribe to the podcast in iTunes and leave us a review or just listen from the website if you're really on the go. Make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You will also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for Mr. Solomon by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening. Don't forget our profiling question of the week. Finish Liz's statement. Raymond, I do love
fish tacos.
Chocolate.
Thanks, guys, so much. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.